This is Deanna Spingola. It is Wednesday, October 17th, 2012, and this is one of my special interviews. We have no commercials, no censorship, no calls, and no music. It is just education and information. It is bare bones broadcasting. My guest today is Rick Simpson. His website is phoenixtears.ca. Welcome, Rick.
Good to be back with you, Deanna. It's always good to get more news out to the public, or as much as possible.
Oh, absolutely. And now you have a book. You've put it into a book. I mean, you have videos. You have tried to disseminate your news, the things that you know, your experiences for some time now, and have not been successful in some places like Canada, but you have had success in other areas, which is very good.
Oh yes, over here in Europe, I don't know, the people of Europe seem to be much more awake, about this subject than the people in North America. But we just recently finished the World Hemp Congress in Slovenia, and then we moved on to Croatia, and we've just done another seminar here in Opatija. And then that was on the 13th, and then we have another one coming up on the 21st in Zagreb. And last year when I was here, I did a popular television show here called The Edge of Science. And so there's upcoming interviews on The Edge of Science again, and more radio interviews. So, we're putting some pressure on the governments to pay attention to this issue. And Max Egan, he's been speaking with me in both Slovenia and Croatia. And what Max is proposing is really a people's mandate. You know, we have to present our governments with a mandate to act in our behalf. I mean, we've been trying to do this through all of their legal channels and means now for decades. And unfortunately, the hemp movement, they don't seem to be able to get their act together enough to make much headway either. You know, the bottom line is blowing smoke in people's faces is really not going to get you anywhere.
Right.
You have to show the real medicinal value of the plant.
Right. And so, I think that's where the situation lies, is the fact that the governments are so in bed with the pharmaceutical industry, and they get such large contributions and basically bribery from the pharmaceutical industry, that they are simply going to not worry about representing the citizens. And because they also have a corporate media here in this country and in Canada, which is very, very controlled, very censored, the word's just not going to get out.
Well, I hope we can change all that, because I mean, this is what I've been doing, and what the work of Max Egan and many people today, it is gathering a lot of attention about the system and the world we live in. And I mean, we have to bring this to a halt, what's going on here. I mean, they're killing the planet. You know, we're poisoning the earth, and we're poisoning ourselves in the meantime. And when you see events like Fukushima and the Gulf oil spill, I mean, these horrible events are going to have a lasting effect. And, we just can't go on this way. And obviously, the world is being run by, people basically with psychopathic agendas. I mean, these mega-rich, banking families, Rothschilds, Rockefellers, there's a whole list of them. I mean, they're the ones that are really in control. Our governments are truly just puppets, and are control. The media is controlled, everything is controlled, but yet many people seem to think they live in freedom, which is actually very far from the case.
Absolutely.
So, we need people to wake up and realize that we have to take responsibility for our own future. We create our own future. And, if we just sit back and allow them to continue doing what they're doing, then in a very short time, I think the human race will be extinct. But if we do rise up and do demand our rights, and the first right, I believe, is the right to grow this plant freely, in whatever way we choose.
Right. And it could also heal the soil, couldn't it?
Oh, yes. I mean, it's you know, like, well, I'm predominantly about the medicinal, you know, end of this thing. But yes, I mean, this plant can heal the earth. It you know, it replenishes the soil. It detoxifies it. You know, we can supply unlimited amounts of food by simply growing this plant. And the same thing goes for energy. You know, unlimited amounts of energy, as much as 1,800 gallons of ethanol from 1 acre of hemp. Now, 1 acre is only like 65 meters by 65 meters. That's a very small area. Now, you could just on that small plot of land, you could grow enough energy every year to run your car, heat your house, and still have a few hundred gallons left over. So, you know, why aren't we doing this? We need to become self-sufficient again. We've allowed ourselves to become, you know, slaves to this system, you know, that we're at the mercy of, you know, or we are currently at the mercy of. And it has to come to a stop because, you know, these different things like, well, you know, the fossil fuel industry. Well, that's one of the biggest enemies we have. I mean, the carbon dioxide and everything, and you know, that we have the levels rising. You know, if we start using things like hemp, you know, we don't pollute the planet. It's a closed circle. You know, so we have to be idiots not to be using this plant.
Certainly. And of course, the media has vilified the use of hemp. They make it seem like it's just a bunch of you know, crazy people who are smoking pot, and they've totally covered up the benefits. One of which is the health benefits. And in your video, Run from the Cure, you talked about all of these benefits, and even for helping cancer. For alleviating the horrific disease, cancer.
Well, yes, I mean, part of the problem is that, you know, the public's perception, you know, this word drugs, we hear it everywhere, you know, I mean, the medical system, they use drugs supposedly to heal you. And on the street, we also hear the same term, you know, applied to substances that people commonly use to become intoxicated, you know, from their effects. But, I mean, these substances, that these pharmaceuticals and these street drugs, I mean, definitely, these are dangerous substances, and people can die from their effects, you know, and they're addictive, and there's all kinds of harmful aspects. But when you look at hemp or cannabis, you know, which is a plant, as far as I'm concerned, it's not a drug, you know, why are so many people calling it a drug? It does no harm. You don't become addicted. You know, nobody dies from its effects. So I feel that cannabis hemp has been lumped into, you know, all of these other harmful substances unjustly. You know, this plant does not fall under the same category at all. And this is the most wonderful healing plant on earth. And I've defied the pharmaceutical industry to come forward, show us anything that is commonly used for any condition that is safer or more effective than properly made hemp oil. Show it to us. They can't, because they don't have such a thing. You know, it's all a fraud. It's a hoax. And this is what people have to understand. Watch a documentary. Go on Documentary Heaven, and there's a documentary there called The Marketing of Madness. Just watch that. That'll tell you what the pharmaceutical industry is really about.
And it's pretty scary. Right. My daughter has breast cancer. And... Yeah. She totally believes in allopathic medicine, and she won't hear of any alternative methods. And so I have a personal interest in this. And the drugs that they want to give to patients cause more harm and cause more cancer, when in fact they say that, oh, this will cure. But when you talk about tamoxifen and some things like that, that gives you cancer, whereas hemp is something that's natural, something that God gave to us, and of course, they've criminalized it because they can't get a patent on it. Isn't that correct?
Well, that's absolutely correct. I mean, it's not just humans. It's all forms of animals. We all have endocannabinoid systems, and these endocannabinoid systems that we have within our bodies basically control everything, including our immune systems. You know, so like when you're taking these extra cannabinoids that you have in the oil, when you're ingesting these into your body, you're putting your immune system into overdrive. And, it's like I tell people with cancer, the medical system, they treat the tumor. Well, the way I look at it, the tumor is just a side effect of an underlying condition that's allowing that tumor to form. But when you're using hemp oil, it's going after the underlying condition. It's bringing you back to a state of good health. You know, as you said, the different so-called treatments like radiation and chemo, these are both poison. So it doesn't even sound rational to me that you would give people the treatments that are carcinogenic, or in other words, cancer-causing, and poison, and expect good results. It's just total insanity. I'm going to take enough poison that all my hair will fall out, and I'm just about going to die, and that's going to help me. I can't see any rationale in that, and I'm horrified when I look at these oncologists. And for God's sakes, tell your doctor, tell your daughter. Most oncologists, they won't even take these treatments themselves. As a matter of fact, over 80% of them will not take the treatments that they recommend for us. That's something to keep in mind. And by all means, go the natural route. Not only the oil, although the oil is, to me, that's the ultimate. Get on the oil. That gives her a good chance of recovering, a very good chance.
Right.
Change your diet, raw fruits and vegetables. Stay away from plant or animal protein because that promotes cancer growth. The plant protein, the juicing machines, I love those. The same thing with sugars. Stay away from white sugar. Natural sweeteners like honey. The seeds from two apples every day. Eat them, chew them up, eat them. They're good for you because it gives you a good dose of B17, also known as Laetril. Also bringing up mega doses of vitamin C. There's several natural things you can do along with the oil treatment that really could be of great benefit. But many of the patients I treated back home, when I asked them later, did you change your diet? And most of them didn't do a thing, but the oil still cured them.
But amazing.
I think when we're in a position, where our life is in danger, that we should try to do everything possible, to aid with our treatment. So I suggest that, that she look at these changes. But for God's sake, stay away from the medical system.
Well, unfortunately, she's very brainwashed, as many people are. She's young, and she just doesn't listen to me. In fact, she gets mad at me. Accuses me of not supporting her. So it's...
If everything I'm telling the public wasn't true, all of these seminars that I do, I've challenged the medical system, for almost a decade now. Come forward, take me on. Not one doctor, not one medical professional has ever come forward. If anything I was saying was not true, they would have defrocked me years ago. And that should prove to your daughter right there that, there's something rotten in Denmark here.
Right.
And it's called the medical system. It's like I said, they would have exposed me. If anything I was saying was fraudulent, they would have exposed me. And they've never done so because they cannot.
Right. They've even tried to legally silence you. And of course, that didn't work either.
Well, I went through the so-called legal system in Canada. I don't know how anybody could call it that. The thing was fixed from the get-go. The judge knew, the prosecutors, they all knew what I was saying was true. I had people that I'd cured with terminal cancer there ready to testify. They wouldn't let them on the stand. So it wasn't too hard to figure out that they didn't want a cure for cancer or anything else. And really, it disgusted me with my own country. Right after the sentencing in 2008, I was going to leave Canada. I was looking for a country somewhere that, I could get on with the research. So I remember one day I was talking to my son, and I mentioned something about South America, and he started laughing at me, and I didn't understand, and I said, well, what's so funny? And he said, well, Dad, I know you. And he said, you'll stay here, you're going to stay here, and you're going to fight this. So actually, his statement brought me back to normal, because it made me laugh, and then I realized, he's probably right. So, it was pretty good for the next almost 2 years. The system didn't bother me until I went to the cannabis cop, and then they staged that raid to try to frame me while I was at the cop. But, you know, I knew I had to stay basically in Europe at that time because I needed more time for the public to become aware, you know, of the truth of what is really going on here. And I also needed the time to, you know, to get this book together. And now finally we've had the book out as an ebook. It's just Phoenix Tears, The Rick Simpson Story. And it's available on our website as an ebook currently at phoenixtears.ca. But we'll be bringing the hardcover edition out very shortly. And then we're coming back with more, another book on questions and answers and testimonials. So I think they'll prove to be an interesting read. And there should be a lot of people that would take the time, I think, to go through these books because, you know, the information can save your life. You know, and that combined with the information we have on our website, well, that basically defeats the whole medical system because the simple truth is, you know, if you have the money, you can go out and you can buy the material from illegal growers, or you can simply, you know, get the seeds, grow your own material, and you can produce a medicine that is far superior to anything that the medical system supplies. And essentially, when you have this oil available, you basically become your own doctor. You know, I mean, yeah, we need a doctor if we break a leg or if we get in a car accident, you know, somebody to put us back together. That side of medicine is just fine. But, you know, the other side of medicine where they're prescribing all these poisons and chemicals and, you know, liver toxic, you know, poison to your liver, you know, that side of medicine is a total fraud. We need, you know, empiric medicines, medicines from nature, harmless, you know, non-addictive medicines that can heal us. You know, chemicals and poisons don't heal. And I think, you know, it was mostly the Rockefellers that caused this, you know, because, well, they started with the medical foundations and took over the medical schools back in the early 1900s. And, of course, their friends and themselves, they owned all the chemical houses and chemical supply companies, you know. Well, what a great way to sell chemicals, you know. Convince the public that it's medicine. And then we can dump all of this poison into them. And that's what they did. And, you know, the worst of it is, as far as I know, old John D. Rockefeller himself, he never took the allopathic approach to medicine. He used empiric medicine. And I think he lived to be about 100 years old. So I think we should all do what Mr. Rockefeller did. Stay away from the allopathic stuff before it kills you.
Absolutely. And I think it's designed to do that. And just looking at the cancer rates in the last 50 years, I mean, it would seem quite obvious that something is quite haywire in the medical industry.
Oh, that's so true. I mean, well, when my cousin died in 1972, I mean, he was 25 years old. And I was, when he died, the day he died, I was 2 weeks shy of my 23rd birthday. Now, up until that point, he was the first person I ever knew that had cancer. And he was also the first person I ever knew that died from it. We didn't even know what cancer was in those days. It was so rare. But then through the 70s, you know, more chemicals, the earth becoming more poisoned, you know, more prescriptions. And, you know, and it just keeps escalating. You know, one time years ago, when you used to go to a doctor, they might give you a prescription, but you took it for a month, you know, and then you're healed. The day you go to the doctor, you get a prescription, well, you take it for the rest of your life. And then before you know it, you're taking another one, and another, and another, and another. So I honestly believe that a lot of these diseases like we have today that nobody ever heard of years ago, like Alzheimer's, I think they're actually caused, in many cases, from the medications the doctors are feeding their patients. I mean, you dump enough chemicals into an older person, and could they suffer from dementia? Well, I think they probably could.
Sure. And then they have a medicine for that, too.
Well, of course. They got a medicine for everything, you know. And what really alarms me the most today is what they're dumping into our children. You know, this attention deficit disorder and nonsense like this, you know. And, you know, and the worst of this, Deanna, I mean, there's not even the doctors don't even diagnose this. It's a teacher.
Yes. You know,
then the child is sent to the doctor and they put them on Ritalin, which is basically an amphetamine. And, you know, and the child is supposed to go back to school and act normal. Of course, the school gets a kickback from the medical or from the pharmaceutical industry. You know, it's a first class racket all the way around. And these poor children, I mean, what effect are these chemicals going to have down the road? Right. You know, if, if you have a child that's overactive or something like that, well, you know what? They should be taking the oil, a little bit of this oil. And I hate these lame arguments. As a matter of fact, I run into one in Slovenia. We had a guy there. He was doing a medical presentation, you know, about cannabis. And he came right out and said, well, there was a new study was just released, and it was proved that, you know, children should not be around cannabis. And I asked him during the question period, I said, you know, what's that based on? Well, you know, he wouldn't answer. Well, you know, the study exists and that's all there is to it. So after he came off the stage, I got him outside. And I said, look, I said, you know who I am. And I said, I want to know, where's the harm? And he looked at me and he said, well, you're from Canada. I said, well, what's that got to do with it? And he said, well, in Canada, you know, you people all smoke, you know, your marijuana, you know, straight. You don't mix it with tobacco.
Oh, my goodness.
I said, yeah. And he said, well, no, over here in Europe, he said, they all mix it with tobacco. He said, so the tobacco would harm the children. And I said, well, why didn't you say that when you were on the stage?
Exactly.
Now, there is no harm, and we got to get over this because, you know, the simple thing is about that, well, that study that was done in the 1980s, the healthiest babies born on this planet are born to mothers in Jamaica who use hemp a great deal. Now, if a baby is not harmed in the developmental stages in the womb, you know, by the mother's use of this wonderful plant, I don't think a child of any age would be harmed. As a matter of fact, I know they wouldn't be.
Right.
And soil can be used, like, for mental disturbances, like things like schizophrenia, you know, and mental disturbances that, you know, that really wreck people's lives. You know, the oil, the oil can do amazing things. So, you know, it's the reason I call it a cure-all, because I really don't know of a disease or condition that a person would not be helped if they were ingesting this substance.
And that's because it enables the immune system to counteract all of the toxins that are in our environment. And so it addresses the very source of our being able to get well, right?
Oh, yes. And, you know, and when you start taking the oil, like what it does, it detoxifies or decalcifies your pineal gland. And what we find is that people that once they're on the oil, like their melatonin levels go right through the roof. And melatonin is the greatest antioxidant known to man. It travels to every cell in our bodies. And, you know, and the problem is with people as we age, you know, when you're young, our bodies produce a lot of melatonin. Our pineal glands produce a great deal of it. But as we age, the ability to produce melatonin just keeps decreasing until the time when you're about 40, your melatonin levels are basically non-existent almost. And that's when we begin to, most of us begin to have all these sleeping problems, you know, insomnia, we call it. Well, really, it's lack of, well, it is lack of the proper sleep and lack of melatonin. So when you take the oil, you're bringing your melatonin levels right, you know, right through the roof. So I think that has a lot to do with the healing effect. And as for the cancer side, it's already been proven that, you know, when you decarboxylate these oils and take away the carboxyl group, well, then, you know, the molecule then fits into the receptors, the CB1, CB2 receptors of our endocannabinoid system. And these receptors are everywhere. So, you know, once that's in the receptor, it then creates the buildup of a fat molecule called ceramide. And when ceramide comes in contact with cancer cells, it kills them. But it does no harm to healthy cells. So basically, no matter where, what type of cancer you have, no matter where it's at, this oil can work for you. But I strongly suggest that people, you know, like most internal cancers that I've seen, if the patient had no chemo and no radiation, a full 60-gram treatment of this oil taken over a three-month period is usually enough to kill, you know, or cure the cancer completely. But yeah, if the patient has had extensive chemo or radiation, I think it's good advice for them to ingest 120 to 180 grams of this high-grade oil as quickly as they can. You know, usually it'll take maybe 5-6 months or more. But, you know, the damage that's left behind from chemo and radiation, it's very extensive. And it takes years and years for the body to heal itself. So we have to undo this damage, you know, that these treatments have left behind, so, you know, the cancer can't get a foothold again. So unfortunately, you know, the ones that have taken the treatments through the medical system need to ingest a great deal more oil. But still, it's not hopeless. And even people that have gone through extensive damage, I've seen them healed.
Amazing. You know, talking about Ritalin, I recently heard of a doctor prescribing Ritalin for a 15-month-old boy.
15-month-old boy.
Is that just absolutely terrible to do that to a youngster?
Well, they're doing it, you know, like, you know, today, well, you see these movies like Michael Moore put out there, Bowling for Columbine, you know. All of the children went mad. They took guns to the classroom and killed their fellow students. You know, what were those children on? You know, like it could have been Prozac and, you know, and substances like that. Because if you look into it, that's exactly what, the, you know, is behind all of this. But they don't talk about that because that would affect the pharmaceutical industry. You know, I mean, the pharmaceutical industry is affecting all our lives in a very negative way. And what they're producing is not medicine. It's simply madness. And I think it's just about time that the public, you know, came to that conclusion. You know, I don't understand, you know, doctors are supposed to follow their Hippocratic Oath. The first statement, you know, first do no harm. And look what they're giving us. You know, how dare they, what they're practicing is not medicine. You know, they're just drug dealers and they're harming so many people, billions of us. You know, and we, like a flock of sheep, you know, we've learned or we've been programmed to put our trust in that white coat. And that's got to come to an end. I mean, I'll tell you right now, you could get better medical advice from a guy with a bone through his nose or your auto mechanic than you can your average doctor. You know, these guys just scare me.
Oh, absolutely. And they must know. They absolutely must know what they are doing. And I know they've been indoctrinated. They've gone to medical school. They've had all of this information given to them, mostly from the pharmaceutical companies. But certainly, in dealing with their patients long-term, they certainly must recognize that their patients are not getting well, but that they are just treating the symptoms.
You know, what one would think so, Deanna. You know, one of the best examples, I mean, well, for hundreds and hundreds of years, bloodletting, well, that was very common in the medical world, and so was the use of mercury. And just as an example, like George Washington, when he died, well, what he was suffering from was a bad case of streptococcus. And so they took him in, and from what I understand, they drained about half the blood out of his body, and surprisingly, that didn't heal him. So then the next day, they gave him mercury. Well, that finished the job. So, I mean, they did these stupid, you know, idiotic things to patients for hundreds of years. They watched them die right before their eyes. You know, so but these doctors cannot realize that what they're doing is actually what's killing the patient. I mean, there's something missing there. I mean, where's the logic here? Any one of us, we would know the difference. Why don't they?
Right. Well, you know, back in about the 1840s, a bunch of dentists got together and they decided that they weren't going to use mercury anymore. And then about 10 years later, the American Dental Association was formed and they reinstated the use of mercury, and it's been in use up to this day. And yet they knew back in the 1840s that it was toxic. And yet we have dentists that that swear that it's not, that it's okay. And it simply isn't.
Well, it's everything. You know, I always laughed at this when I first started doing this. I was always getting, you know, where's the scientific evidence? Well, the scientific evidence, it does exist. You know, and today it's very easy to find. And it wasn't really that hard to find even years ago. But it's just like people, you know, and they'll, you know, when you prove to them that it does exist, and the top experts in the world are saying the same things, you know, about this substance. Well, why aren't you listening to the top experts? Why are you listening to a general practitioner who knows when this substance comes out that he's going to be out of work? I mean, it's all about position and paychecks to these guys, you know, the doctors, the lawyers, all of them, and the politicians. You know, they've just been programmed by our society to behave the way they are behaving. In truth, you know, I hate what they're doing, but in truth, they're really little different than we are. I mean, they went through the same brainwashing we did, you know, about this subject. So we can't, you know, put our, you know, our total blame, you know, on their shoulders, because we're at fault too. I mean, we've sat here in this world, we've allowed it to happen, and you know, we've all seen governments do things that we knew were wrong, you know, but we've never stood up to do anything about it. So, you know, it's all our fault, and I think today the best thing we could do is get together and recognize the mistakes we've made in the past and try to build something that's better, you know, for coming generations. Because if we don't, it's going to be taken from them, and this earth will not be habitable.
Right. Well, that's what they've done. They've formed their organizations, their associations, like the American Cancer Society, which is all based on profit. And, of course, October is Cancer Awareness Month. And when you look at who started that and this Run for the Cure, that was started by the very people who create the medicine that is so lethal and so toxic to cancer patients. And they're the ones that started it. And it's all for profit.
Well, that's exactly right. I know it was so funny when we brought out Run from the Cure in early 2008. You know, we put it up on the internet. And, well, there it was on, right up on YouTube. You know, Run from the Cure, put out by us. And then right below it was Run for the Cure, put out by the Canadian Cancer Society. You know, what a joke. But,
right.
You know, they are total frauds. Matter of fact, all these medical foundations, they're all the same. My father, the only organization my father would give money to was the Salvation Army. He said the rest of them were just crooks. And, you know, from my experiences with them, I have to agree he was right.
Certainly. Well, if they actually revealed the cure for cancer, that whole organization would disappear. All the people that are making a lot of money offering hope where there is no hope, then it would all disappear. So you're right. It's about profit and paychecks.
Well, I mean, you know, it's like you said, you know, the Cancer Society, the Kidney Foundation, the Lung Associations, the Heart and Liver. You know, there's so many foundations and societies. But what are they doing to actually help anything? You know, the public have given these organizations, you know, in total billions of dollars. Where did it go? You know, and what good has it done us? You know, when it kind of tells you something when an ordinary man like me can go out and take a rice cooker, you know, a little bit of solvent and a pound of good hemp bud and produce a medicine that's better than anything, you know, that the pharmaceutical companies supply. Well, that should tell us something. You know,
right.
Somebody's not doing their job.
Right.
And, but it's like I said today, with this wonderful medicine, once we get these strains nailed down, the most medicinal strains, and we get people growing, you know, these wonderful plants, then in no time, you know, we have our own medical systems. We have our, you know, the way we can heal ourselves, our children, you know, even our pets, you know, because they all respond to this too. I'm very gratified now. I've kind of come to the point now that I actually enjoy treating animals more than I do people.
Really?
Well, they're much easier to deal with.
How true.
We've treated a very good number of dogs now, and well, people all over the world are following our instructions and producing the oil, and they're healing their animals. Like it's not unusual for us to get emails, you know, telling us that, you know, their dog had, somebody's dog was dying with cancer, and within a week and a half, it was totally cured, because the dog's metabolism is so much quicker than a human's. So, you know, this works on all types of animal life, but I think once more people come to accept this, and maybe it'll be a bit easier to deal with humans too, I hope.
Sure. Well, with animals, because their lifespan is much shorter, it's easy to see the results, but it's also easier to note that animals are developing what used to be considered human diseases, like diabetes and cancer, and it is because, of course, of the food, I think the vaccines and all the other toxins that animals get. And you know, even if you think about the screening industry, I know I'm changing subjects here, but a thought that I had, the basic screening industry for breast cancer is that, oh, they encourage everyone to get a mammography, and it is the The people who own and have developed the machines for that screening test that are promoting the test. I mean, there's such a conflict of interest that when the president of the American Cancer Society is also in bed with the screening devices.
Oh, absolutely, dear. But I mean, that's the same with everything today. When you look at all these drug companies and how the FDA bends over backwards to make sure their products make it to the market, you know, and these guys are just, it's just like a revolving door. I mean, one day they're with the FDA, the next day they're working for the government, and then they're working for a pharmaceutical company, and then they're back with the FDA. You know, it's just a total racket. It's so visible. I don't understand why the public puts up with it. You know, it's like I said, in truth, you know, like hemp oil, high quality hemp oil is a substance that all medications that are deemed fit for human consumption should be measured against. You know, take all these pharmaceutical medications and measure their effectiveness and safety against hemp oil. And what would happen then? They'd all be off the market.
Right.
You know, it's insanity. They blind everybody. Oh, you know, we use double blind testing and placebos, and that is just a huge steaming pile of bull. I mean, it's just nonsense. Even the conception of it is nonsense.
Right.
You know, if you want to measure the healing power of a substance, measure it against a substance that's known to be a healer, and that healer is hemp oil.
Right. But of course, the pharmaceutical industry always test their own products and then report to the FDA that there has been testing, and then the FDA just passes the medications through. And you know, getting back to the brainwashing, I think back in the 1950s when television became popular, they started having all these programs about doctors and really kind of give the perception that doctors were just, they knew everything and that they were wonderful and great healers. Think of all the doctor programs that were on and that have been on through the years. And now when you look at the advertising that the pharmaceutical industry does on TV, oh my goodness, the brainwashing continues and people accept it. They don't question when they see all of these commercials saying, now if you have this malady, just ask your doctor for this prescription. And, you know, the doctors used to have to come up with the stuff on their own. Now the patient can go in and say, well, I saw this ad on TV, and could you please recommend this?
Well, in reality today, from what I've seen, most doctors, they don't know any more about medicine than we do. We go in and we describe, you know, what effects, you know, that we're suffering from. They go to a book, look it up, and, oh, okay, I'll give you this. You know, I remember, like, well, when I first was injured, they put me on a substance called Tegretol for a year, or almost a year. I was taking, like, I think it was 1,000 milligrams at a time. And I was seeing specialists. So, you know, because I had the post-concussion syndrome, so I went down and he decided he was going to take me off this Tegretol. And he looked at me and he said, well, what would you like to try? I'm like, you know, I'm sitting there with my head coming right off my shoulders with this damn ringing noise. And he's sitting there asking me what I would like to try. And I said, well, you're the doctor. Aren't you the one supposed to know that? You know, it just blew my mind. And then, you know, as time went on, I realized more and more how little these people actually know, you know, about medical conditions at all. They're just programmed into this belief system. And, you know, and for them to actually awaken themselves to the horror of what they're truly doing, to many of them, I think it's just incomprehensible. You know, how do you admit to yourself after being a doctor for 30 years that what you've done is nothing but harm? You've killed countless people, you know, with your treatments and medications and chemos and the rest of it. You know, how do you live with yourself? But this is the realization that these people have to come to. I mean, we need real healers. We need real doctors. And, you know, if these people expect us to put our trust, you know, in them in the future, I think that's what they're going to have to become.
Right. Well, I think that at least 200,000 people, and I've heard higher figures. I've heard figures up to 800,000 people a year die from medical decisions made by their doctors or in hospitals. And if that happened under any other circumstances, we'd hear about it. We would be raising a fuss. I mean, people wouldn't know, all over the country would be asking questions. But of course, they keep these figures concealed.
Well, yes. I mean, yes, if we did that, it would be called criminal negligence causing death. But, you know, often doctors will change a patient's prescriptions and all of a sudden their kidneys stop functioning and things like, you know, of that nature. So literally they're just using us like guinea pigs, you know. And the true horror when I look at these chemicals and substances that they use, you know, I mean, no two of us are the same. We all have different chemical balances, you know, within our bodies. So when they pollute our bodies with these chemicals and substances, they have no idea what effect it's going to have on you or me. I mean, we could be taking the same substances for the same condition and have totally different effects. So it's just a big, ugly game, you know, and it's just designed to take more pills and more pills and more pills. And I can't begin to tell you how many people came to me that were taking, you know, a dozen or two dozen, even as much as 30 pills a day. You know, there was one AIDS patient was taking 36. But, you know, in no time, they can get off all these horrible, you know, medications. Most of these people, within a month, like even people that were taking 30 pills a day, within a month, most of these people were only taking the oil. And some of them even stopped, of course, I never told people to stop taking heart medications or anything, but a good number of them did. And it had no detrimental effect. The oil rejuvenates vital organs. So, that's what the pharmaceutical companies are so afraid of, because this medicine literally replaces everything that they supply. About the only thing a drugstore would need to sell would be bandages.
Amazing. That is, well, when you look at all of the money involved in that, now we see why there is such an effort to conceal the truth about this, because you're talking about one product, one God-given plant that would heal everybody of everything. A whole industry would absolutely collapse. Doctors would have, well, as you said, they can repair broken bones, and if you get into a car accident, well, certainly you'd want to have care for that. But for everything else, and there's so much of everything else, they would be out of business.
Well, what I see happening right here in the near future, I mean, I see the resistance by the governments, and really what the governments, they want the pharmaceutical industry to control this. But this is never going to work. You know, like they'll start off that way. They'll try with more regulations against people, you know, that are growing their own medicines. They'll try to stop it. But, you know, the pharmaceutical industry and all their, you know, and all the cohorts that they deal with, I mean, they're going to want big prices for these treatments. And what's going to happen is, I mean, the poor people can't afford, you know, to pay these huge prices. So people will just literally grow their own and produce their own. And if this coming economic collapse that everybody is predicting comes about in the near future, people are going to have no choice. You know, because there's their source of food, there's their source of energy, and there's their source of medicine, and about 50,000 different things that we can produce from this plant. Unfortunately, at present, there's a lot of so-called hemp activists out there that are screaming, you know, regulate it and tax it. Well, I'm not one of them. And the way I look at it, I think we should just take, you know, these families, these mega-rich families that have caused all this grief to mankind, I think we should take them into a common law court and put them on trial. And basically, I mean, all of the revenues, the funds and things that are they have available, they're all the proceeds of crimes, you know, the crimes that they committed against us. So why don't we just simply take them into a court, make them admit their guilt? And it may be a bit generous on my part, but I think we should just, once they admit their guilt, set them free and leave them with enough, you know, that they can survive half comfortably. But, I mean, these people are not used to working, doing hard work like we have and stuff like that. And I don't think they would fit too well, you know, into the real world. But, you know, I look at, you know, all of these people. I don't care if their last name is Rothschild. I mean, the bottom line is these people are suffering with mental issues. They have sick minds. And I think that, you know, after a short time on the oil, that their thinking might clear up a bit. But, you know, we should take the resources that, you know, these mega-rich families have, that, you know, the resources that they're using at present to run our planet, and, you know, put those resources in the hands of people we can trust and make sure that, you know, that these resources are used, you know, used to do good things for this world. You know, convert the horrible industries we have today over into hemp-based industries, earth-friendly industries. And we can employ so many more. I mean, once we start growing this plant on any scale, you know, millions more people will have jobs. You know, many people will be able to leave the cities and go back to the land, you know, become self-sufficient, get in touch with nature again, and raise your children in a decent environment, you know, instead of the back streets of New York. You know, it's easy to attain a better world. But we just have to work together, and we just have to use common sense and rational thinking, and we can achieve that aim.
Right. Now, on your website, phoenixtears.ca, you have your book, you have hemp oil, all about the oil, how to make it, and it's just you have a wonderful website. People can look at your DVD, your video, and I really encourage people to do that. I encourage the listeners to evaluate what Rick has said, and to take action. How can we help? How can the listeners help?
Well, right now, I mean, well, Max Egan is, you know, proposing this people's mandate, you know, that, you know, what he wants is people worldwide to present their governments with a mandate to do something about this situation. You know, lift the restrictions, you know, make the growing of cannabis completely legal everywhere. This is what we need. And this is the only, really the only salvation that I know, that, you know, that we have. And if we don't use this plant, I mean, what else can we use? So, I mean, we have to do away with all these nuclear power plants and the use of all these horrible fossil fuels. You know, we have to change, you know, our paradigm. We have to change the way people are thinking. We have to get them back to reality. But, you know, this, to me, the simple truth is, you know, they go on right now, they say the earth is overpopulated and all the rest of it. But I don't believe that for a second. I think we could have double the population we have right, you know, at present. And I think we would still have plenty to go around if this earth was managed properly.
Right.
That's really all we have to do. We have to put this, you know, our, you know, the future in the hands of people that will do just that. And everything has to be done with an open book policy to the public. Today, you know, that's how we got in this situation, was all these backroom meetings, you know, and secret deals. Well, you know, if you're representing the public, there should be no backroom meetings and there should be no secret deals. So if everything is done with an open book policy, and we had people, say, representing different regions, you know, people that, you know, of high stature and, you know, good moral fiber, you know, and they're basically, they would be running the world. You know, why not? And maybe it is time for a world government, but not the one the New World Order had in mind.
Right.
You know, would be working for the greater good of every human being on this planet. And that's one thing we have to realize, you know, that if some are being harmed, we're all being harmed. And no matter on this where on this planet that something bad is happening, it really should concern all of us. And we must, you know, we have to get together and act as one, and, you know, to stop such things. Stop these wars. Stop all of this nonsense. It's all needless. You know, all through mankind's history, the only thing we ever got better at was killing each other. And I think it's just about time that we brought that to a halt. And, you know, we need to evolve to a higher level. And I think we're entering now the age of reason. And I think we will evolve to that level in a very short time. And I hope not too many people, you know, have to suffer along the way.
I certainly hope that you are correct in that, for all of us. And certainly you're correct in saying that the thing that we are best at is killing each other. Now, are there any countries in the world that do allow the growth of hemp?
Oh, yes. I mean, there's countries now, Israel, they've had big projects underway there now for quite some time. 2 years ago, I talked to growers there that had licenses to grow 1.5 million plants each. So the Israelis are looking at this in a big way, but I'm kind of afraid that it'll all wind up in the hands of pharmaceutical companies. And there's other countries like the Czech Republic. They're talking of getting studies underway. You know, they recently decriminalized in Colombia, and I'm hearing the same thing is happening in other South American countries. And when I look at the U.S., I mean, I think there's like 17 states that are legal at present. But from what I'm hearing now, I think every state in the union wants to legalize. So I just can't see how this can go on much longer. And, you know, if Obama wants to go against every state in the union and try to enforce these, you know, idiotic laws, then I don't think he's going to remain president for very long.
Interesting. Well, it's thanks to you for all that you've done. I mean, you have been a solid voice in trying to get this done, trying to get it legalized, and all of the medical information that you have provided. You provide hope for people with serious diseases. And not only that, but the people that you have helped, their testimonies and their stories are just wonderful and give people hope. And you've proven your statements. You've proven your claims.
Well, that's what I set out to do. I mean, when this whole thing started, well, you know, it's crazy for somebody in my situation because I've already achieved more than I ever thought was humanly possible. But you know, it is a wonderful thing to be able to look at this and realize that, you know, that even just one man can change the world if you just stand up to that world.
Right. And you've done that.
I don't, there's nothing special about me. I'm just an ordinary person, but the circumstances that I was thrown into were extraordinary, and I just simply did the right thing because I just felt that, you know, we all have the right to this information, and you know, it should be taught in schools.
Right.
Well, I just wanted the public, you know, to know the truth, and I didn't do this for fame or fortune. Matter of fact, I didn't want anything to do with that end of it. You know, in the beginning, I went to people like Dr. David Suzuki, and I thought that they would react, but they didn't. So in the end, you know, I had two choices, either just stop doing this or just keep proving what I was saying. So I just kept proving it, and now the world is finally recognizing it.
And you sacrificed a lot. I mean, you really did. And I just applaud you. I'm grateful for you. You're just once lone voice, but now you've got other people to support you, your people you've helped and the people that you're talking to in Europe. I just, it's an honor to even talk to you. It really is.
No, it's like I said, dear, I'm just an ordinary man here. That when I, you know, I get this stuff all the time, you know, like I'm some kind of big hero, but you know, if you look at this movement, I think the greatest hero that the movement ever had was Jack Herer, because Jack was literally a war horse. I mean, he fought for 40 years to have this plant recognized, and I think this man certainly deserves all the recognition in the world. And the other hero in this is simply the oil, you know, the oil itself, that magnificent substance that can do all of these wonderful things for us. And, you know, it's, to me, it's just a great pleasure to be able to go out and do shows, you know, with people like yourself, you know, people that are awake. And the message we're sending is very important. And every time we do one of these shows, lives are saved.
Well, bless you for doing this. And I again, I thank you so much. And keep up this work. Keep up the efforts. And hopefully your thoughts of what might occur will occur. So thank you so much.
You're more than welcome, dear.
All righty. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.